With it being countywide, there's actually quite a few sections of the county that are relatively built up. They're not a metropolis or anything, but they're relatively built up, and yet they're still in this scenic corridor. And there's also sections like the new section of 64, Lake Oxway, that just has a huge right-of-way, so any sign that's put up is going to be a long ways off from the road, and it's going to need to be bigger. I mean, I'm comfortable with 80 square feet. After our last meeting, to me, you know, we've talked about this whole thing for 2, 3, 4 meetings now, the sign ordinance, and we kind of got it ironed down to what we think we need, and my son's just joined the Scouts, and I kind of compare it to buying a new pair of hiking boots. I had to have hiking boots, so I get online and I read and I study and I think, you know, I find out what I think's important and read reviews and you find what you think are a good pair of boots. But the last thing you do is you go put them on and see how they fit. And I've spent some time, not a lot of time, since our last meeting, riding around, looking at signs, looking at communities, talking to people. And the response I get is that 80 square feet would be fine. There's quite a bit of concern in the Lake Oxway area about banning off premise signs. That's been pretty detrimental to business, and would be. I've actually got some pictures. I wrote down the Whitewater Road since it's one of these. Highway 281 South, since it's one of these corridors. And I took a picture of every sign on the road, and basically, other than 2 or 3 signs, they're all non-conforming. And I mean, I don't think of 281 as being non-scenic or
polluted with signs or to
what we're talking about. I mean, I know those signs would be grandfathered.
Yeah, that's okay. That's what.
But you know, other people that have businesses off of those main corridors need to be able to advertise as well.
Well, I know we've passed through this a number of times. I just responded to what people have said to us. I would like to see it smaller. I'm not uncomfortable with 80 square feet. I think that's a good compromise between the two extremes that we're at. I would only say that. They do. Everyone has the right to appeal to if they want a larger sign in the future for their businesses. So we always have that avenue open to them. But it does sound like we're probably not going to get to a lower square foot signage. So I just wanted to open that up for discussion and see what we can.
Is that what you have in the pictures?
Yeah.
You want to go ahead and?
I'd like to kind of show those if I could.
I'm going to move around over there so I can see. Can't see anything with glare on this side.
We can also turn it.
Sorry, I'll just sit over here by Sandy. I'm sure she'll enjoy that.
This is the first most southerly business on 281. And as far as how that would fit in the sign ordinance, I'm really not sure about when you're allowed one sign and a sign on the building. Of course, they have their usual sign, and then they have a trailer with a model horse on it as a sign.
It has wheels, so it's a temporary sign.
And they have a hanging flag, which is a moving sign, which is banned. What's the next sign?
Camp Buck. Yeah.
Directional sign to Camp Buck.
Now that would be.
Take the next left.
Off premise.
But it would.
That off-premise on scenic byways, because that's also a scenic byway, is a NCDOT rule.
It's another off-premise sign. Mm-hmm. Whitewater Ridge. And it's beside a stop sign. It's obviously on the right of way.
Hmm. I wonder. Yeah.
It's another Camp Buck, 2 miles, Whitewater Baptist Church. Off-premise signs.
Yeah.
Another off-premise sign.
That was a real estate sign?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another Whitewater Ridge off-premise sign. Sign on the light pole.
Now that sign is on a power pole, and that is an illegal sign. Should we make a complaint and put your name on it?
Well, I mean,
yeah, but that one needs to come
right
down.
But you understand what I'm saying. I mean, yeah.
No,
you take an ordinance that we all think is what it needs to be, and then you go out and see how it applies.
Yeah.
There's another off-premise sign. I don't know how that fits into the...
That's a government sign.
Private property. So that would be on-premise.
Private property.
Because that property is private.
That, yeah.
But it's saying directions are gorgeous.
This sign, as luck would have it, I measured it as 80 square feet.
And it's on your property?
Yes.
On-premise sign?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's another private property sign.
That's been there.
The question I was asking about that private property sign, was that put up by Gorgeous on that person's property?
No, it's on, we put it up on
okay
our property.
But it looks like a yeah state sign.
It looks
identical. That's why I asked that.
Okay.
Would anybody like to guess how big this billboard is?
About 120?
120 is what I'd say.
300 square feet.
No.
Yeah.
It's 24 feet wide and 12.5 feet tall.
Yeah.
And it's almost
camouflaged.
Is that on 281? And it's
been there
since they built it.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons why the ordinance went to 150.
Before the Burlingame subdivision was built, when Mr. Boyd owned that property, he had a sign up there with the property for sale.
Mm-hmm.
What's the square footage on that one?
300.
Oh,
there's the state park sign. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, they get to advertise their camping.
They trump whatever we have.
Right. And here's a state park banner. And of course, it being the state, it's legal, but it wouldn't be legal for anyone else.
Yeah.
Two more off-premise signs. And those Burlingame signs are also off-premise signs.
Mm-hmm. Is that one that's 300 too?
This one's 100.
Okay.
There's the same sign.
It's so hard to tell. Yeah.
But that's what I say. I mean, an 80 square foot sign is not as big as maybe you would think initially.
Mm-hmm.
The church is Sapphire and the fire department. Another off-premise sign. Another off-premise sign that's an old grandfathered sign.
Okay.
And I didn't measure it, but it looks like two sheets of plywood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
So it's probably 64 square feet.
Okay.
And here's the last business, and of course they have a flag hanging that's not permitted, and then they have two signs on the building and one sign on the road. That's the end of the road.
How big was that fire department sign?
I didn't take time to measure those. Let's see.
That oval one?
Yes.
Yeah.
32,
40. How does fire department signage fit into this ordinance?
They're non-profit.
It has to comply. Now, the state does not, but
right,
the fire department would. And unless it was, well, I say that, we government signs.
I don't know how it would apply to a government sign, but usually that's a warning sign or some type of
speed limit sign.
Yeah.
Can you share this with me?
Mm-hmm. That's actually, I think most of those were off-premise signs. Most were probably real estate or a directional sign that we ended up, we had to make changes to this ordinance because we cannot
originally
look at content.
Directional signs were originally
exempt.
That's right. And because of, but because of content, we ended up going back and saying we can't control it. And so I think that,
and to me, it's the off-premise sign thing that's really the hang-up. And you see it in those pictures, and then the new, it talks away, historical.
But we're okay with, if you are still good with 80, almost all of those off-premise meant that, almost all of them were less than 80. They're off-premise, whether directional or real estate sign. I think your point just validates what you have already been discussing as a group, and you really, that's extremely helpful to be able to show that, and probably...
Well, that, I mean, to me, that 80 square feet is okay.
So we can't really change the NCDOT laws for outdoor advertising.
No, but we could change the counties, and then we'll go to work on the DOT. I mean, there's some folks in Lake Hawksway that have a campground on the Slick Fisher Road, and they put up a sign at the intersection of 281 North and 64, and the state came and made them take it down.
And it was in their right of way, right?
No, it was off the right of way, but it was an off-premise sign, and the state came through and took down a lot of off-premise signs.
It's a state.
And the issue. But what I was going to say is their business fell off 40%.
Because the primary is the drive.
Nobody going up 64 is going to turn up 281 on the hopes that there's a campground there. You know, it's just too hard to turn around. And then
that's something that we need to be working with Chuck Edwards. We need to be working with NCDOT, Chuck Edwards, and Cope right now. That's how we address that.
And I was in a meeting Monday with the Lake Hawksway Historical.
Historic
Foundation.
Historical is kind of like hysterical.
And their big concern is that there's been basically no growth in Lake Hawksway, and there's there's no business in Lake Hawksway that wasn't there 20 years ago. There are no storefronts there. I mean, maybe the businesses have changed out, but there's just no
Lake Hawksway Realty.
No growth.
Lake Hawksway Realty is.
No,
they've been there 20 years.
Not a new building. That's what
I know. We've also had conversations. In fact, the building was in my office today. I had a meeting last Friday.
Bless your heart.
Their concerns were that, especially with this new section of road being built, the travel speeds are going to pick up through Lake Hawksway. As you go through there, you drive by restaurants and shops before you realize that you're there. And you know, you can't put up a sign that says Bull Peanuts 300 yards ahead, or restaurant ahead on the left, or it impacts business. And the other thing it does is it guarantees that the only place there will be business along the scenic corridor is on the scenic corridor, because you can't build the business off of there because you can't advertise it. And it won't be seen. I mean, if you turn out a state road, two blocks.
On the state scene.
State scene byline.
Or a county.
Or a county.
That's what you get.
And the only place you can put a business and have any visibility is on the corner. And you take Lake Hawksway, where you have both state road, state federal highways, are city corridors. It just really locks the advertising thing.
Mm-hmm. The state piece is something that I've already suggested that we can assist with the choices in terms of the byway,
There used to be a provision in the state scenic byway thing to take parcels or stretches out of the byway, but I don't know if it's still in the
river. In terms of a scenic corridor and trying to say that there is, let's use Cedar Mountain as an example. There was a piece of property that was not directly on, didn't have direct access to 276. So it's off of, let's just say Cascade Lake Road, goes back a little ways. Scenic corridor, we're saying no off-premise signs on the scenic corridor. We currently limit on a scenic corridor. We don't have anything on existing, if the property is there, and if it's off-premise, it's limited to, there is no sign over 150. You can have as long as it's less than 150. So how do we help that business concern be able to have advertising, or like you said, the campground going up to 81?
I think that's a great example.
Or the camp, you know, there's a campground on Cedar Mountain that's out.
Yeah,
just before you get to the state road.
Black Bear.
You turn left out another state road. And I mean, they have a sign there now, but if someone else put a campground somewhere on Cedar Mountain, they could put a sign.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir.
I was just trying to observe that at East Fork Road off US 276, there's two or three signs referencing businesses down East Fork.
And
the Tennessee Fire Rescue, of course, and the self storage, climate control, and I believe there's a campground that's advertised.
There's a construction company that advertises there, and there's a sign or two right in that area that say pottery.
They're all pretty diminutive size signs, but they certainly are off premise.
And then back to what he just.
It's a tough one because if you're unfamiliar with the area, you're not going to know. You know, unless their property comes right to 276.
And back to a couple of comments made. One was about the side aid to Conestee Fire and Rescue. And then back to Lauren's question about what do you do about fire departments, because in the line of work I'm in, I listen to the radio a lot, and people drive up to fire departments with medical emergencies. You know, you're having a heart attack in your car. So I think that's probably a fair question, is if this thing gets resolved somewhere, how do you allow a fire department to have a sign? Because as Max said, if I'm in Toxaway and I'm in distress and I'm looking for the fire department, that sign couldn't be there. I'm on I-64.
The scenic corridor that's a hang up on that same issue is the new covenant in Rosemont, the bypass.
Right.
The businesses in Rosemont can't advertise.
They're completely blocked off from advertising, yeah, because they're not in the corridor.
And I can't imagine.
Of course, they're not going to be able to anyway, because the right-of-way on that goes up both cuts so far up that you couldn't even put a sign. So that's going to resolve that.
Yeah, but they could down around Israel Road, and they could.
But again, Israel Road is so far back, that right-of-way is so far back that it.
Scary, get that one on top of the hill.
It's a legitimate issue.
No, I absolutely agree. And from an economic development standpoint, from a Kimsey, welcome.
I'm sorry, I didn't see you.
Not bad.
Well, yeah.
The lights are on.
Just walk in.
All right, so Lauren made a point that we talked about a great deal last time, and that is there is a
provision in there that allows for a variance request. That if you have a business, but the issue that I have with that is, if you start doing a lot of variances, then that means there's a fundamental flaw with the ordinance.
That's my,
But we have established that how often does that come up currently? How much more?
Never. We've never had that.
Anywhere.
No.
Regardless of the designation.
We thought we were going to have a variance in July be requested. And he modified his sign so that he didn't need to.
The Lake Tahoe Estates had some kind of.
That was. I stepped out on that one because of my conflict or potential conflict. But yes, their sign was too big. That wasn't a scenic corridor sign issue, was it?
No, that was. It was a right of way issue and location of right of way.
But under the state law for off-premise signs, it doesn't matter if there's a variance. Thing we can do here. That's above us. There's no provision for that.
That is the state law right there from NCDOT website on scenic flyways.
I can read it if you want.
There you go. That's fine.
Yeah, I got it.
There you go.
Can you see it back there? Okay.
Most of the off-premise signs that have the pictures, real estate, directional churches, but they were all small. I mean, they were definitely less than a sheet of plywood. Almost all of them consistently were less than a sheet of plywood. Would it make sense, I'm just putting this out there, I know you as a board have said no off-premise signs in a scenic corridor, but should there be some figure that is sheet of plywood or less to accommodate what we've been discussing?
Like a directional signage?
Directional. Camp Buck Arrow. Real estate sign. Those are all.
We just can't call it directional. But
no, we can't call it directional. It's going to be. You can have an off-premise sign that is less than 20 square feet, less than 15 square feet.
We can do that as long as we don't call it directional because
we're not. Ordinance. We can't call it a real estate sign.
We can say we can have an off-premise sign
that cannot exceed X feet,
and then just leave it. Yep. And if so, it has an arrow on it, that's not our business.
That's right.
Yeah. Because of the Supreme Court.
Right.
The way, I think the reason that those directional signs have not been addressed is NCDOT hasn't updated their signs since the Supreme Court. And directional signs and other official sign notices are exempt. So does or is that only official?
That's what it's other official, yeah.
And other official. But is that why they haven't taken Camp Buck signs down?
I know about 8 or 10 years ago the DOT went up 64 taking down all three of the signs.
Yeah.
That's dealing with Gorgeous State Park. That's what that's referring to right there.
That's when the campground suffered there.
Yeah.
People couldn't find it.
All right. Okay. Then ignore my comments. If we allow off-premise signs in our ordinance, NCDOT ordinance would birth. Regulations would still have to be modified to allow it.
Well, it would either have to be modified or it's going to be superior to ours. Yeah. And that would be the rule.
Yeah.
Yeah. We could have something that is less restrictive, but NCDOT is going to be more restrictive, and that's going to be where it applies.
All right, so what can we do as a board to address that? I think there's a couple of legitimate questions have been raised as far as off-premise signage.
On scenic corridors, that's all we're talking about.
Yeah.
What was the problem at 281 North, 281 in the north? What was it that was down that road? And there was a sign that the state
campground. It was a campground, yeah. And when people would come down 64,
right,
you had to turn on to 281 South to get there.
Was it on? Oh, okay.
And people, there was a sign there directing people to turn. And the state tore it up, pulled it up. And the business, the campground, virtually just dried up.
And when you drive past 281 North, pretty much the first good place that you can turn a camper around is another camper.
Right.
So that's convenient.
So right.
I think the thing that would, like in that example, if you have a business on 281 and you're coming and you want to give a directional sign for people on 64, what's to stop every business from putting up a directional sign at that intersection, and then you end up with billions of square feet of arrows going campground, hot dog stand, whatever, you know, down there.
The property owner.
Yeah, I mean, the property.
Yeah, but the property owner may be looking and saying that's a lot of revenue, and I've got a lot of frontage.
But we already have a thing you can only have.
No, what Warren's saying is multiple establishments further up want to also do that.
Like everyone not put their sign in the corner to get people down.
So then you end up with a whole different problem.
Right. And right now I don't think that's a problem, but it's
not.
You know, obviously, if 281 does get more business, I don't know.
Well, I mean, the scenic corridors are not going to have that much business off of them anyway.
Right.
It's not.
Yeah.
I think both of you are coming to kind of that consensus of there's not a lot of business, won't have a lot of business just by the nature of where they are. I don't see a lot of businesses from the top of Little Mountain down the Hubbard Gap going in there. The same way going out towards DuPont, Staten is not going to have a lot. It's only going to be, I think, one of the biggest areas where it would be a concern would be the Toxaway area. And probably Cedar Mountain, if 276 from the state line to Brevard is identified as a scenic corridor. Those would be the two areas.
I have a logistical question. Are we talking about off-premise signs located on scenic corridors, or off-premise signs located on scenic corridors and scenic byways?
Scenic corridors only, okay, is what I have been referring to.
Okay.
So, is anyone at the state we can?
Yeah, I think we need to have Carl Owenby is probably somebody that we need to have a conversation with and just see Carl Owenby, Steve Cannon as the district engineer. We need to talk. But Steve, Carl Owenby is the one we're working with on our ARC wayfinding grant, which ties back into it. And he's really kind of the person, the contact person for signage. That we have been working with and need to go back and ask that question. But I think you two have just kind of hit on the crux of it. You either get too many, or because of the nature of scenic corridors, just probably not going to have a lot.
Right.
And I think then what you come back to is basically the last meeting, there was around the room discussion of 32 to 150, and I think there was this really good consensus of 80 square feet as being kind of that threshold. I think that if it became a problem, Matt, what I would say is that it would be up to us to come back and try to address that problem in the time. It's how I would look at that.
This is just a question of clarification, but what metric defines the width of the corridor? Right of way? Legal right of way?
Yeah.
So,
it goes beyond.
So, this is about signs within the legal right-of-way?
Not necessarily, I don't think. I think it's
signs that are visible.
Right, signs that are visible.
Signs that are visible on the bridge 100 yards back.
If you can't see it from the road, it's exempt.
This,
that's if you look at the ordinance.
The sign in question in Toxaway was not on the right-of-way. But the state removed it.
It's illegal to put any private signs on the highway right away.
I get that.
All those signs are off the right away. Right. And then, like our scenic corridor or the state scenic byway,
if you can see it,
it doesn't have a width, it's just linear. And any sign that's intended for people on that road would be the best.
So were you going somewhere with the?
I think the two questions. I think you were with the help of Lauren and Mac. I think you're back to the draft that you have in front of you and the discussion from last month. I think that we have captured the comments and the concerns edits that you had, and I think you're back to that. What you worked on last month. So the question then is, if it's acceptable to you to approve as a draft to submit to the commissioners to allow them to have a public hearing and go forward with it from their standpoint.
Well, I'm pretty curious about fire department signs.
We'll figure that out.
Who did that? Because that substation on 281 has a sign.
But that's an on-premise. That's an on-premise sign, is it not?
It's on-premise.
It's on-premise.
Okay,
so
well, now go back out to 64281 or to 64 and 281 at the other end. What about direction someone to the fire department? Because I'm telling you, people show up to fire departments when they're sick. They show up when they get hurt. They don't go to the emergency room sometimes. They'll go to the fire department and say, you'll hear them call people in all the time and say, we need you to report to your station because someone thinks they're having a heart attack.
But that's outside of our control, the directional aspect.
I would make an argument that that's a government sign saying that it's through a contract. Transylvania County has a contract with all of the volunteer fire departments.
And there's government money involved, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's taxpayer money that is paying for the different fire departments. I think you can make an argument. I would make the argument that directional signs for that would be a government. That would be government.
Okay.
I would have no problem at all supporting that as being government. In fact,
on scenic corridors, we allowed off-premise signs that were these square feet. That way, that's kind of what. I mean, there was a few of these signs that were big, but in thinking about the ones that are like out 276, most of them are, 3 feet by 4 feet, 4 feet by 4 feet, or smaller.
Mac, I'm sorry. I'm looking for. We have. I'm going to follow up with Mike if I can. Section 3.1.
All right.
Government signs, including but not limited to traffic warning or regulatory signs, including building identification, directional information, and welcome signs. So we're covered there. We've got the directional on that already.
All right.
So that's good. Now, Mac, I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said.
What if we allowed off-premise signs that are, say, 20 square feet on these corridors, and that would allow for smaller directional signs. I mean, people could put other things too, but it just hasn't really been the case.
The reality is, if it is, and again, we're not supposed to be identifying signs, but the reality is if a realtor puts a house for sale arrow
in all likelihood, unless it's just there forever, I don't know that we would do anything about that. And that's a real, I mean, if you think about that typical size. So that's,
but to make them legal, we would have to have something.
We provide an ordinance knowing that people are going to do things that are not.
But if we put up like a 20 square foot sign or whatever size, if it's directional, the state has jurisdiction if it's off premise about the directional sign. Isn't that what we've been saying?
On scenic byways.
I'm sorry. And are we still talking about scenic byways?
No,
scenic corridors.
Corridors, okay. No.
Back to scenic corridors.
Because I think, I'm with Mac, I think directional signs for small businesses are important. I'm just worried that if we can say, we can put it, I just don't want our ordinance that we put in place, the state comes up and says, sorry, we're going to rip this sign out. Just like a fire, station directional sign, that I think we're good on.
And I wouldn't want to name names, but if you think about some of these corridors, there are businesses along the corridors that would be, that would make the corridor more scenic if they weren't there and there was a sign there pointing down the road where they're at. And to me, if we're going to have scenic corridors, the whole idea is not to force businesses in that community to all be located on that corridor because they can't advertise any other way.
So, most real estate signs, most directional signs, even the one for, if I remember correctly, the RV campground was probably the size of a typical campaign or real estate sign. I mean, it was a pretty small sign.
Those campground signs were probably heavily.
Panther Ridge was probably sheet of plywood. Flip this way.
Yeah.
Sheet of plywood.
And Lauren, I'm kind of boring to you. I mean, if we said that, and just make sure, I know we have a couple of people that came in the audience, we're talking about the issue of on a scenic corridor, how do you deal with what was a directional sign or a real estate sign to a business that is not directly on that corridor? And that's where we've kind of, we're stumbling right now. Fire departments we're good with. We've already said directional sign, that's a government sign. So that's not an issue.
That's exact.
But the issue would be if you have a real estate sign saying house for sale, arrow this way, which you typically do see signs like that. Lauren's point earlier was you don't want to have a whole proliferation of, let's say, real estate signs. Again, not real estate, but that size sign on one piece of property pointing up to 81 or Cascade Lake Road.
So, Mark, an example of that would be the woodworking business.
Yeah.
276 that is half a mile down the side road.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly what we're talking about right now. So you want to be able to accommodate commerce, economic development, while at the same time trying to accomplish what you as a board, what you as public have said you really value, which is we don't want a proliferation of off-premise signs, certainly the larger ones, larger than 80. It seems like there's consensus that 80 is a number that is still good.
What about limiting the number to one off-premise sign per parcel?
We're not talking about off-premise, though.
Along scenic corridor.
Along scenic corridor.
So 20 square feet, one per parcel.
Oh, you're saying the number signs that could be. See, there.
But then.
If you go up to 81,
and there's just a handful of businesses that are all going to put up signs. But it's.
I really don't like that, but trying to enforce that and then having to deal with that one property owner, I mean, that's a nightmare for staff to have to go back.
But isn't that better than 20 off-premise signs all on one parcel?
It's just not going to be 20. It's just not
that. In reality, probably not.
Yeah, most locations are going to be. What is the max, hypothetically? This is an issue, this is an issue, but what would be a hypothetical size that you would be comfortable with? I mean, most of the signs that you pointed out would have been about the size of a real estate sign.
150 square feet, but
that's me.
But I can go down. But that's if you're asking.
Max said 20.
Yeah, man, I just heard 20 out there. That's 4 by 5.
4 feet by 5 feet.
And that would be big enough in the places where the right of way is large and the signs will be right on the side of the road. I mean, you know, the ordinance has to cover the whole county, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you have in your mind what a scenic corridor is, but then when you drive around those scenic corridors and look at them, there's places that are pre-built up, and there's places that the right of way is wide where there's big cuts and fields.
I'm just looking at 5.2 when we talk about in general off-premises signs being having sign phase of 32. So
do not require a sign permit.
Right, don't require a permit. But on scenic corridors, it would be easy for a small business owner just to put half of a piece of plywood. It could be, you know, that's easy. It could be 20. So, I mean, 20 would encompass that. I don't see on the scenic corridors new businesses coming in and not having something so people shooting down that road can see that they're there. Before they're like, whoa, you know.
Yeah, right now the sky's the limit and people are not putting up big signs, so it's not like.
Right now they're prohibited on scenic corridors. Mm. In the current.
I mean, like on Cedar Mountain, it's not, hasn't previously been a scenic highway or a corridor. Mm. People are self-selecting smaller signs. Mm. And that was my thinking, was that 20 square feet would be large enough for about anywhere you need to put anything. And most people are going to do smaller anyway.
Ward, what do you think?
I agree. I think 20 square feet seems like a reasonable size for that kind of sign, certainly. There's also the potential we see a lot of these pop up. It's just, you know, it's almost like a test case of a lot start popping up and we need to go back and it's clear there would be a problem. And we'd have to relook at that. It's just tough, you know, certainly weighing this economic development versus scenic corridor, but I think in this case you cannot starve these businesses if they're off the scenic corridors. You know, they need to be able to get
some direction.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, I would err on the side of healthy communities over scenic corridors.
There's a balance. I think that some of the communities would say that scenic preserving the scenic beauty is the health of that community. And I've actually, in my discussions,
businesses can't survive there.
And I've actually, in my discussions with different communities, I think there are different community needs. I think Cedar Mountain's need and what they're trying to accomplish is different than what Toxaway is trying to accomplish. Toxaway is actually trying to say, how can we get more business up here? How can we, you know, get businesses that would be here year-round that would make this a viable 12-month community as opposed to a part year? Cedar Mountain, I think, is looking and saying, we want to preserve what's already here. There's not the same motivation. I think 20 is probably, if we're talking about off-premise side, the scenic corridor, I think that that would be reasonable.
That would allow the directional and the real estate
side. The real estate side, and we're not calling it that. Remember, we have to go away from that. But it's essentially a smaller version of what we have as a directional sign right now. That's what we have. Where would you, how would you put that in wording?
Yeah. I would, sorry, this is the current sign control ordinance. And currently, off-premise signs designed to be visible are not allowed, but directional signs are exempt.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we're having to have this discussion.
It's a new issue.
It's a new issue. If we no longer exempt directional signs, then how do we address it? What I just jotted down was off-premise signs located on a scenic corridor shall be no greater than 20 square feet. And it may have to go back to visible from a portion thereof as designated by the county commissioners, you know. So let's, you know.
Let's see if we can actually come up with the wording on that and get everybody to agree on that. Up on the screen. This is the current draft?
This is the current master control, the scenic corridor. I was going to use that language. Off-premise signs designed to be visible from a road or a portion thereof, designated as a scenic corridor by the Transylvania County Board of Commissioners, shall be no greater than... greater than 20 square feet.
Can
5.11.
Yeah. Can you actually pull up the current draft? And
I don't know if I have it on this computer.
Okay.
That's why it's in my meeting notes and not in the draft ordinance. I have the draft from July.
Mm-hmm.
But it could go in section 5.11. Or it could go up higher.
Yeah, so would your thought be that you would make it 5.1 and then everything shifts?
5.11. The end? I mean...
I'm sorry, I'm not following you on 5.11.
5.11.
She's saying add 5.11. Add 5.11.
Add 5.11.
Yeah, add 5.11. Now your point of putting it up front, that then people would know first and foremost that along scenic corridors, so if maybe we do want it to be 5.1.
So off-premise signs are currently banned at 4.6.
Mm-hmm.
The corridors at 4.7.
Because that's the current scenic byway rule, and that's the current rule in the sign control ordinance.
I think 5.11 is fine. I don't know if it needs to be at the top, the bottom, or anything. And then we need to strike out 4.6.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's where I'm. Yeah, you would strike 4.6,
mm-hmm.
and then you would put 5.11 as you just worded it.
Did you also strike 4.7 and then include Scenic Byways in?
You can't change anything on that.
Well, but it.
The issue.
It would still be illegal as far as the DOT is concerned, but not as far as the county is concerned.
I mean, if they did anything, it would be simply a matter of striking that, because we don't control that.
The reason it was put in there is because we permitted a sign along the Seething Byway, because we were following our ordinance.
The Seething Byway originally had no restrictions.
All right, that's originally, that's state level. I mean, technically, it does not need to be in there.
Right.
Technically, it doesn't need to be in it because we don't enforce that. But the issue was,
there was one approved, and it was because it wasn't in the ordinance. And then we realized, because it used to not be an issue, it became an issue.
But it's a state's issue.
It's a state issue, but it became our issue when we permitted something. And the guy comes back and says, well, hold it. You said, man, I have to say, yes, the office did approve. However, it doesn't matter what we approved. It's in the state's jurisdiction.
And that's why people love bureaucrats.
One way to address that would be to do something such as off-premise signs designed to be visible from a road or a portion thereof designated as a scenic byway by NCDOT shall follow NCDOT regulations for outdoor advertising. And that way, if it changes, they still know they need to look at it.
Yep. I think that's a great way. It's kind of like we have a footnote in the subdivision ordinance that says NCDOT requires for a subdivision a 50-foot right-of-way, whereas our ordinance requires 45. It's just a notice. We're letting people know. I think that works.
Okay, so reword 4.7.
And then strike 4.6.
Yep. Oh, yeah, you're right. That would be 4.6.
We have such a small number of people in the audience. Do you mind if we just see if they have, does this make sense, the discussion?
The one thought that perhaps you mentioned it before I arrived that came up in previous discussions in terms of how can somebody behind a business is off of a sand corridor. So, that's how I find anything.
But if you lose cell phone service and you can't get it back?
I can give you an address in Toxaway you'll never find on that. I guarantee you won't.
I think there are probably some addresses in Cedar Mountain. Once I get it out of range of a cell phone, it's not going to work in Toxaway the same way. Most places, civilized universe, yes.
The technology is moving. Yeah, if you don't have access now, check back in.
I can get the word. Sorry.
Do you happen to know the size of that word?
That was right.
I do not, John. Two things. It seems like a reasonable size, and I don't know how it compares to 20 feet. It might actually be roughly 20 feet. But we might as well make the regulation to be that size, because it seems to be agreeable, and I hate to have them go there as a grandfathering.
It's grandfathered. Whatever is out there is going to be there. Think of it this way in terms of a size. Typical real estate sign for a house, how does it compare to the typical sign that you would find? I know which sign you're talking about, but I can't visualize. I can't.
The woodworking sign on the
Stone Mountain Cabinet.
Yes.
Well, now they have.
It's a very attractive sign.
And off of 276 and Parkley.
Right.
Yeah. It's 276 in Parkley and
3x5.
I think Carol's right. I think it's a little bit larger than that. So 3x5, 15. So that would be 20. Is probably.
Probably.
4x5 seems to be a good size. 20
nice numbers.
Even.
even-ish. Some of them are even, some are odd.
This is actually, Mac, thank you for bringing this up and this discussion on it. I will back up for planning board members, particularly newer ones. Ordinances, we constantly find things. Once you start changing something, we only wanted to really change one thing. Look what we ended up with.
When you see all the red line strikeout,
that's all it is.
In one document, it really
all
is.
Red line strikeout.
Almost all of it. We chose not to make one correction because it was like, it's another red line strikeout. Because you could combine two of the points and not lose the meaning. But then you lose that two original points.
This stuff is.
I know what you would want.
I want the Wild West of signs. But I know everybody else does. So that's why that's how we started at 20 and 150 and wound up at 80.
Yep.
I'm good with that. But
Mark, I'd have one other question. Do you want to have any restriction that has to be within a certain distance from the actual turn? Yes.
4 miles from now.
That's
and such.
That goes back to.
Well, we're not specifying in this what that 20 square foot sign is.
We do specify that they can only have so many signs to what would be an off premise sign.
Right.
And so it is in their best interest to have it as close to that turn as possible because they cannot have that many off-premise signs, so I don't think that we have to specify.
Here's the question: if you read the ordinance together, 5.3 says off-premise signs containing directions or advertisements shall be no closer than 75 feet apart. Up to 3 off-premise signs may be placed on the same road.
Right.
So you can't go 4 miles. You can't do the old Burma Shave signs the way the ordinance is written now, or the way it's proposed. You would have to, and you know. You could do your sign 4 miles ahead if you wanted to, but that's it. You get this if what they're talking about, if what everybody's talking about is going, you get this 20-foot sign. If you want to put it 4 miles down the road, that's up to you. But you get one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So you know, I think that's. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay.
You.
Yeah.
Can I
see? You get three.
Three, not on, yeah, okay. You get
three. One on the same, one on.
Three on
but
the
if
same
you,
road.
But if you put it on a scene, if you put it on a scenic corridor, you get 1 20-foot sign.
We don't actually say that.
Okay.
So we can you can,
that's what he's asking. I think it's what the gentleman's asking.
I
should we say
I think you should only get one sign. You get one shot to get people. Because then we will get a Burma Shave. Woodworking, and then campground, and blah, blah, whatever. So if our intent of this is to say we want to make sure people can find the business,
I think that's the real
close to the intersection, we have a sign of woodworking down this road.
I'm reading.
I think Lauren's hit on the central question is
right here. She's prepared up the 20 square feet with a limit of one off-premise sign per
business
per
sign per establishment.
Yeah. I'm not sure that I'm. I'm just saying. I think Lauren hit on the point. The point of the whole discussion was to direct somebody to the business. You're not, you know.
I don't think we need to say off-premise sign again.
Limit of one sign per establishment, yeah.
Yeah, you just say that.
Thank you, John.
Per establishment, per scenic corridor.
Per scenic.
Now, this is
in each corridor.
Yeah. But this is in the section of, it deals with scenic corridor, as designated as a scenic corridor.
within the western end of the county, all the corridors cross.
Right.
So, you know, you might need a sign at 64 turning them up to 81, and then you might need another sign that just like that campground at the end of the Slick Fisher Road off of 281, and those are both seen corridors. So, you could.
One per establishment, per state maintained road is how it is.
Yeah, so it would be per scenic corridor.
Yeah.
So in that case, it would be negative two signs.
But not on the same road.
No.
But it's per scenic corridor.
The campground he's talking about, they would have two
signs.
Yeah,
the campground has them in between two.
Right.
Quarters.
Right.
Each, they need a way to get
from
it. Yeah.
They have to drive up one scenic corridor to turn on
to another scenic corridor. Right. Kind of. Yes. So, I agree with you.
All right.
So we went from no off-premise sign to one per corridor,
20
square feet. I guess I can look at it that way as a victory.
It's a victory.
It's a victory.
It's a victory for everyone.
There you go. I think that the point's valid about getting people to the business, but if you don't put one, if you I'm not crazy about Burma Shave signs, but I'm up in the air about it. You know, if somebody wants to have it on their property in their front yard, I think it's kind of a different question, but I'm not going to make any ground there.
Kimsey, you've been quiet. What do you think?
I'm sitting here struggling with. One, we don't want to crud up the highways and corridors. But two, we won't have economic development. Three, people got to know where those places are.
And I think that this is a compromise that does that.
This is okay.
It's a very good description. I'm good with okay.
But it's always that situation we treasure our scenic views and that sort of thing, but if somebody has a business and if depending on it's their livelihood, they deserve to be seen and known.
The challenge I have with this, I think that this is a good compromise, I think okay is the way to do it, but the challenge I have with this is that we're now saying that on an off-premise scenic corridor, we're going to allow signs. But the reality is they're already there. They're already there as real estate signs. They're directional signs. What you're not going to get is a billboard. And when this ordinance was originally envisioned, we didn't want that 150-square-foot sign that's there. So I think it does meet what you've I think it meets everything that you've expressed. But it is something that is different. In terms
so if everybody feels okay about it, it's probably about as good as we're going to get, right? Because the diversity sitting around this table, if we all go, okay, probably a pretty good.
Yeah, I think that's
I mean, yeah, probably about as good as we're going to get.
We have a high standard of
But I mean, I'm kind of making a joke, but I'm not. I think it's with the diversity around the table and the diversity around the county, that's probably about as good a compromise as you're going to come up with.
The reality is that it keeps the big signs off still, and it represents what's out there actually already. And, you know, we're not in a position from a staff perspective to go out and deal with every directional sign or every real estate sign that goes up every weekend when there's a house being shown. We can't do that. It's not practical. It's not sustainable. You can't do it. I think this represents reality, and I think it would prevent the need for
lot of variances.
Right, I agree with that too.
The 300 square foot dining room, did that go up before 1991?
It was before this ordinance was adopted.
I remember that not being there.
Yeah.
It was up in there. Well, they built that road in the late 70s.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure there was a sign there when that was a gravel road.
They
had a big billboard up on gravel road.
Like 77 or 78, because I was like 12. I remember that.
It sounds like, Mr. Chairman, you're at a point where there is consensus on the current draft with the three changes that are identified on the screen. And taking that forward to the county commissioners and as a vote, letting them then hold a public hearing at their convenience and letting them take a final cut at it. So, if that is the case and you feel that way, then it seems to me that somebody needs to help move that along.
And I can't make a motion because I would have to step down from the chair to make a motion. And the vice chair is not here.
So, would the motion be to accept this draft?
This draft.
With those changes to the Board of Commissioners?
Yeah, true. Yeah. To present to the County Commissioners.
So, we now have a motion on the floor to inculcate these changes to this document and present it or vote on it and present it to the county commissioners. Is that correct?
That's my motion.
Okay.
A second.
So we now have a vote and a second.
A motion and a second.
I mean, I'm sorry, a motion and a second. I've been up since four, I'm sorry. A motion and a second. Do we have any discussion? Hearing no discussion. All in favor of the of Lauren's motion, say aye.
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 All opposed. All right.
And at the last meeting, you actually, I think the minutes reflect that you, the minutes reflect that the scenic corridor was approved.
I have a question about it. Can I?
Sure. Because you could come back to it, and I think you could.
And I think it's really just me, okay. But. On the Toxaway Falls portion on the second page.
Yes, sir.
The portion of US 64 beginning at the intersection of US 64 West and 281 North spanning to the west side of the Toxaway Falls Bridge.
Yes.
So that means the bridge itself is not on the corridor. Is that correct?
West side.
The west side would be the side closest to 281 North.
No,
that would be east.
No. 281. Okay, all right. I thought it was just me.
Yeah,
all right.
That's
okay. I want to make sure. Yeah, it's up to. That's up to.
It's
all right. We're good. Okay. All right. Good.
Minutes do reflect that this was approved. Then, with those changes, you're good.
Okay.
We've already incorporated the changes.
Right. Yeah, I was having a brain burst here.
For some reason, I had a hard time at the last meeting with which sides were east and west, and partly it's because of just the direction.
It's because
it's not really east.
Yeah.
Right,
it's
north and south.
It's like Prince Broad Street. I think Prince Broad is being east and west.
It's not. I do that.
I think you did a great job. Mac, thank you for your contribution and challenging the need for signs of directional nature for businesses. I think that was very appropriate. Thank you.
Okay, so the next steps then would be?
We will craft a letter for the chairman, you, to sign conveying this to the county commissioners.
I never get to craft my own letters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I am happy.
You can totally do it.
I'll go with you. I'll do it. I'm just messing with you.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, that's great.
Okay.
And then it'll go. Okay. All right. So we're there.
My guess is it will be from a timing perspective. The county commissioners. What I would probably anticipate is it would be at their second meeting
in October is when they've given their schedule and what they're working on right now. So most likely, but I mean, that's up to the chairman, the clerk, and manager as to timing when they want to. But I think it's probably going to be the second meeting in October.
All right.
All right.
Future meeting dates.
So I sent out an email. Several of you responded. I sat down with Mike, and we looked at kind of a calendar of events. We are going to propose that you... Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jen, I notice you're without a boot to kick John with.
Boots are healing.
Good night. Thank you. We have a regular meeting on October 19th, and we are going to suggest that we need to continue with that meeting and what we would focus on. Mike, I know I said the water supply watershed, but we actually think the topic that we need to look at next is actually the mountain ridgetop. And so we would suggest that October 19th, we begin looking at the mountain ridgetop law. It has something that does need to be changed. On October 30th, we are set for a joint meeting with the City Planning Board as a follow-up to our last meeting. November 16th, we, Joy and I, in our own little world and in our own little minds, think we can actually provide you with changes needed to the Mountain Ridgetop Ordinance, and you should be able to vote on it November 16th. I mean, we're not looking at big changes, and I don't think unless Mac really starts chewing on this, maybe Mac will be gone. We think that the changes that need to be made can be the 19th and the 16th, and hopefully take care of it within December 21st, being a backup, but we would anticipate not having a meeting because it's so close to Christmas. But it would be a backup meeting if we still have something else on the mountain ridgetop that we just, the gristle is just too thick and we need to choose some more. And that's okay, but so that's what staff is proposing. Lauren, I know you're going to be out. So
19th and the 30th for sure of October. I was just hoping you could send me whatever revisions to Mountain Ridgetop so I could take a look at it.
Electronically?
Yeah, just email.
We're going to need to send everything out. Even if you're going to be out, that we can still send it to you.
I'm going to be out of the country, so I can still get email.
Okay. Now, you are not, and just as a matter of information, Steve Woodsmall, sent me an email saying, who can I give my proxy to? There is no proxy. You can provide staff with input. We can share that at the meeting. I think you could even share it with staff and the chair just to let them know. And in fact, ultimately, that's what Steve did. Steve sent Mike an email, copied me, and said, I'm really for what we have. That's why you just cannot do a mass to everybody,
right?
So you can't do a reply all and say, wow, I really like this, I'm for it. That's not allowed.
You can or can't?
You
cannot do that.
Cannot do that. Yeah. Now, if you want to get on the phone and call Lauren, call Sandy, call Matt, Mike, individually,
you can do that.
You can do that.
Or if you want to take me to lunch, either one.
So that's what we're proposing. No action needed on that right now. We've already said that we wanted to meet on the 30th. That seems to be good with the city. October 19th, November 16th, the regular meeting dates. The 21st is a regular, but we at this point do not think that we need to meet them. And that will give you one more meeting afterwards.
In January will be a festive meeting.
Well, we're also, remember, November 16th, we said that we wanted to try to do, I thank you for reminding me, we wanted to try to do a meal potluck on the 16th.
Yeah. January will be a festive meeting.
We'll be celebrating.
No, that will be February when you celebrate. January is when I'll celebrate. anyway.
You're anxious, are you?
Sometimes.
You mean like a...
That's it. Thank you.
We'll bring lots of nets.
Right. Anyway.
We have sparklers.
Yeah. So, everybody's... I mean, like you said, no action's required, but at this point in time, we'll go with that agenda until...
Yep.
Something changes. All right, new business. What you got for us?
I've got it's going to take about 3 minutes. I'm going to just identify what I shared with the county manager, some of the things that we're working on, just so you get a sense of it. On grants, we have an ARC wayfinding grant that has now all of the free, or the wayfinding signs we're working with TDA, and we think that we can install 7 to 10 signs throughout the county that will help direct tourists to destinations within the county. And they will look very much like the signs that the city of Brevard has. ARC Wi-Fi grant, we got a free grant to install Wi-Fi in Rosman. As of this afternoon, all sites are lit. We were waiting. The last site was the Transylvania County Park there, and that is now up and running. Within the park itself, it's 100 MIPS, and then just outside, you're 20. And so the thought was, in working with Brian Shelton, that if you have free Wi-Fi at the office, Champion, downtown, right there at Church in 178, and at the county's ball field, you can capture tourists coming through, trying to help them figure out where they are. As one of the members in the audience, I think it was Jan, said, with their cell phone, they can look up headwater outfitters. They can do work. Citizens at a ball game or at the swimming pool will be able to do work or communicate. So we're working on that. We hope to close that one out shortly. Joy was very instrumental in helping get a grant for $11,000, a little bit more than $11,000 for Allison Deverhouse, and putting a new roof on the back of that to stabilize that. That was working with the Historical Society, and Historical Society is doing some really great things right now to help preserve that building. Joy, again, in large part, both of us, but Joy has done a tremendous amount of work on a home scattered site rehab. We've got $165,000 to help restore to NC Building Code minimum standards 3 homes. We had 18 applications. We narrowed it down to the top 10. They had to provide more information to make sure that they are eligible to meet home or federal requirements. And I think, did we end up with 5 or 4?
We ended up with 6.
6? Wow, I did not realize. All right, we got more. Right now, we've got to go through with those 6, and we have a lot of things just to make sure that the family or the individual is eligible by guidelines, and that the home is also eligible. And so that's our next step. So we're working on that.
So that's 6 homes.
Well, no. We only have money to do 3.
3 now.
Yeah, so we are prioritized. We joined, pulled together a small group of people to help evaluate the applications, and that's how we went from 18 to 10, and now we're going to go with the number 1, and if they are qualified and everything works, they would get it. Say number 2 comes in, but the income eligibility is off. They make too big earn or bring in too much money, then we would go to number 3. So that's why we have more. We are now working on an NCDOT comprehensive bike plan that we got a grant from the state. I was able to go to Blue Ridge Bike Club, and they are actually helping with the local match. The local match is $15,000. The bike club is putting 5 of that. So the county only has $10,000 in the comprehensive bike plan that we will be working on this fall and spring. There will not necessarily be an actual trail or path from that, but what this allows is, once we have that plan in place, NCDOT is obligated to go back. If there's work on that road, they have to be able to tie back to that. So that's something we're working on. At the end of the month, we are responsible for reporting back to Golden Leaf
Mac, you know this, you've been very involved with this, on the Acosta Road project. That's a new manufacturing building that will house Sylvan Sport. One half of Sylvan Sport, the other half is going to be vacant open. But we continue to work on that. That is actually, even the limited work that we're doing on it, it's a real chore. The Golden Leaf grant reporting process is not easy. So we're working on that. Sign control ordinance, thank you. You really, I think, created something that is very strong. Scenic corridor, the same. Next is Mountain Ridgetop. Other projects that we've been working on is the MC-280 multi-use path and working with Mills River and trying to get a handle of what is the public, what is public sentiment regarding this. And now we'll go to the county commissioners, manager, and commissioners, looking and saying, do we want to continue to pursue this? Transylvania County Transportation Advisory Council, Joy and I, Joy is actually the one that leads most of these meetings. We both attend, but the new list, Spot 5-0, county commissioners approved the recommendation that the Transportation Advisory Committee provided the commissioners. They approved that on Tuesday, and that's going forward. We have a lot of activity, a lot of work has been done on transportation. Vicki Eastland is with Landis Sky Regional Council and has been a real advocate for Brevard, Rosman, and the county. And then NCDOT has really, really stepped up to the plate on this. We've had a lot of positive interaction. Community Center Project, Kaylin is still out on medical leave and probably until mid-October. That was really something that she was working on, but we'll be meeting with the county manager later this month, early October, to move forward with the project and how do we support community centers. JHPC is working on how to bring together a number of different history-related organizations. It's not that they don't play well in the sandbox. It's, is there a way to better align interest and resources? And so that's what we're trying to do. And Joy has a meeting set up that she and Marcy Thomas, who's the chair of that board.
So she got wrangled into the chair.
Yeah, she did.
She agreed. Yeah.
Lauren used to be on the
HBC.
Oh, really?
You want to learn about what's going on in the county as far as history. 3:30 in the election Sunday.
Small area plans. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
What day is it?
October 10th is Tuesday. Tuesday, October 10th from 3:30 to 5.
Where?
Board of
Elections.
The sign says election center.
No day.
So.
We have two groups that have approached us talking about small area plans. Cedar Mountain Group is very interested. And then individually, I've had two different people approach us, Bill Minnick and Nori LeBrun. Nori has been interested from the wayfinding standpoint. And then last Friday, I met with Clark Lovelace and a couple of other people, both from the Lake Toxaway area, from the community, to talk about their interest in trying to build growth in that area, as we were talking about. Workforce affordable housing, the county has $25,000 in the budget to look at the issue of workforce housing. Workforce housing being defined as 80 to 120% of median income. In terms of jobs, think about teachers, think about sheriff's deputies, police, and so forth. That's the type of job that we're trying to make sure that we can help with housing. I met with the city planner and manager and their consultants from the School of Government talking about how the city is trying to address this issue, and my interest is trying to align the county and the city. The city has water, has sewer, has zoning. How do you get all these things to mesh? And then the last thing, I've given some...
said the Z word.
Let's see. When it comes to workforce housing in the city of Brevard, those are the main things. I mean, that's a
we're working on the lot right now, and then we're tailoring out.
Are there ordinances for the county to allow these small area plans and that sort of thing?
We do not have any ordinances. The comprehensive plan identifies areas for future growth, and so we have that to rely on, and we also have the Fiske Forest, I feel like this word, community zoning ordinance. But at the request of the community,
we have a Cedar Mountain community zoning ordinance and a
at the request of the community.
At the request of the community. That is
cut off our finger, not our arm. That was
that's the key.
Yeah, that was the key. Yeah.
That is what I
want something.
That's all I have, sir.
All right.
Questions about any of that?
Was the Lake Topsoy group interested in lock zoning?
We really haven't talked about zoning in that case because I don't know enough. I mean, you have a couple of individuals that own property that are trying to figure out how to maximize the value of that property by doing some things. And I actually, in my conversation with Bill Minnick today, have just said, I need to see a map and see what you're actually talking about. And I have not gotten that way. What I have talked about, and I think in the Toxaway area, if you're going to grow that corridor, to me, the number one thing you have to have is wastewater treatment.
You do.
You've got to have utilities. And so that's... And water, I'm not too worried about. Because
the problem with utilities is our streams are outstanding resource waters.
Yep. But you can design it. They're lame. You can design it.
One of the concerns, I guess, what the comments. I have a small area plan. One of the concerns I have... there are several concerns. The biggest one I have is making sure that if small area plans is the direction we go, that common terminology means that things mean the same thing everywhere, because then that will lead to mass confusion, which will then they'll say, oh, well, we can solve this. We'll just zone everybody, which I think is where small area planning eventually leads.
I think that's a fair assumption, and you are absolutely correct. Making sure, I think it has to tie back. Right now, we have to tie back to Fiske Forest,
right?
And we need to be looking at that as that model.
I mean, I don't want to beat this race to death. The words mean things.
I've never heard that.
I wanted to point that out.
I have never heard you mention that before. Thank you.
But
I'm serious about that.
That if you have a small area plan here, a small area plan here, and they use different terminology, you've got nothing.
Agreed.
Right. Yeah, that's my big.
If we're going to have it, we need to establish some guidelines of
what words and what things mean.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Remember, you and I are. We
jump off the soapbox now. Back to the gram.
That's all I have.
All right.
George, do you have anything to say?
Kim, do you got any comments?
I apologize for being late. I'm not going to lie. I did let it slip my mind momentarily. And walking by the table, I saw this line. Oh, my God. And so I hastily put my shirt back on, and here I am.
Thank you.
Lauren?
Anything?
Max?
One thing. The economic development building, the bids open today. Mm-hmm. 2:00.
Oh, really?
I haven't heard the bid results, but it is moving on.
4.2 to 4.7. I think it's something along those lines.
No. Talking about Acosta.
The building that the Transmania Economic Alliance is going to build.
Yeah.
How many square feet is that?
60,000.
That's a Golden Leaf.
The Golden Leaf was kind of the tail that wagged the dog there. It's going to end up being the county that probably does, in terms of financially, at least up front, it's going to be the county that does the lion's share on that.
Is that happening? The city provided the property.
Yep. Roughly $1 million.
The Golden Leaf was about $1 million. And then they got another grant.
$200.
The state grant.
Senator Edwards was able to help you.
And then the county is going to be responsible for the rest.
But the county recouped all, the city and the county will recoup eventually through lease payments.
And so there is a recapture of the funds over time. And so it's not like it's just completely...
It's not a giveaway program.
And actually, the lease rate has to be, by requirements from Golden Lake, has to be at market rate. And so there's been a lot of discussion, and Matt knows more about it than I do because I've not been directly involved. The real issues of trying to come up with agreements that Golden Lake will allow as part of the stipulations that they have in the terms. And there are six specific stipulations that have yet, all of them have yet to be met before release of funds for Golden Lake can be made. But I think it's getting there.
Is Golden Lake state or federal? Or
it is... Golden Leaf funds are controlled by a nonprofit, Golden Leaf Foundation, but state legislators have a way of influencing how that money, and the money originally came from the tobacco trust settlement. And so in North Carolina, to be used for education and economic development.
Golden Leaf. All right.
Yep. Yep. Golden Leaf goes back, and if you look at their logo, it's you actually can decipher the
it's
the leaves. One leaf, not five.
And Golden Leaf is coming all state.
I thought you were at the forum last night.
Anyway.
Yeah.
You didn't hear that.
Same.
I just wanted to thank Matt for that angle. That never crossed my mind.
You crossed my mind.
And that's so important. Thank you.
All right, I have a couple of things. I'm kind of like a hound dog running through a field. Be careful with that table because I see abrasives off of it. That could be nasty when you pick it. That could be ugly. Has nothing to do with this meeting at all, except I've been sitting here looking at that brace. The second,
we're not going to move that table.
The second thing is that I don't know. This board, this particular board, seems to be a lot more cooperative than other boards I've been on. I would say that out loud. I don't care who's listening.
I think it's the chair.
I think this board has been much less contentious than I, you know. I used to go home and not sleep back to meetings. I don't think I'll have this problem tonight. I mean, I think, all joking aside, I think this board has been much more in a mood to compromise than the previous board, and I appreciate that because there were some contentious meetings in the past. I'll leave it at that. And I appreciate the makeup of this board. There's probably close to as much diversity opinion-wise on this board as there was on the last board, but there's a lot more spirit of cooperation. So I appreciate that just personally.
Well, you have a more mature board, too.
Well, I'm getting older, yeah. But anyway, that's all I have. I just wanted to tell y'all I really appreciate that. And there was one more thing, but it's gone. If I think of it, I'll remind you.
Just while you're still, did Daryl contact you?
He did not. I haven't heard.
He did not contact
I haven't heard from Daryl.
Make a note of that.
With that... there's no other comments. I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right. All in favor, get up and go.
Thank you, guys. Good meeting. Back again. Thank you. Same thing. Kimsey, glad you got your shirt on and got here.
Yeah.
I'm glad you came.
I'm really embarrassed. I was on several meetings today.
You don't have anybody to remind you.
I'm just glad you showed up in your shirt.
Yeah, I'm glad you bought my shirt. That's good.
Lauren,
thanks.
Thank you.
You know, my experience has been that contentious meetings really don't get you anything. You may not agree. But you don't have
well, I haven't agreed. I don't agree with everything I hear at this board.
It ain't a straight fight.
Yeah.
Like if that had been a fail, you can reach an agreement.
Thanks. Sandy?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Today? Yeah.
I saw some chicken out there.
Did you get all this?
You want Oreo to take home?
That's what I had said.
Chicken and bento beans.
You wouldn't wash that, right?
Thank you for having hope, my comment.
Well, thank you so much, and please share those with us. So that it'll help with grandfathering all of them, you know, to make sure that no one comes back in 5 years and says, that wasn't there. Yes, it was.
You know, can we put your maybe LOS thing on the collage for the end of the year, maybe?
I haven't seen it yet, so
yeah,
I was just there.
It comes up on, I'm over at the LOS website, you're Joy on this picture, and I'm like, I'm getting up close to the screen, and I'm pretty sure that's Joy.
I tell you, when Acosta and DuPont were shutting down, I was right in the thick of all that. I was on WOS almost every week, and it was a chore because it was not a happy time.
I've been on there before. I don't like. Let me just say that y'all look fine, but television ain't Batman. It doesn't accommodate Batman.
Well, even if you're thin, it has 10 pounds.
But when I look, they wonder how many cameras we're looking at. It's 10 pounds of camera.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Guys.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm saving it from the desktop to the thumb drive.
Yeah. Where's the teacher? I've got this.
Plug the thumb drive in tomorrow and have it. It's handy having technology. I mean, it really is. Because I didn't do a good job at trying to go verbatim from section 4 of how they describe a scenic corridor. And it was handy just to cut and paste and show what I was trying to express. All right.
You've got those over there.
I think we got a...
I'm glad that Matt brought that up.
And Matt was